Let us pray. Lord God, we just give you thanks again for this day. Lord God, be with us as we your word is read and proclaimed. Be with us the thoughts that we form in our minds, meditation of our hearts, the words of my lips, that all of these may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. First from the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Then from the book of Luke, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Then from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. We started talking last week about forgiveness. Y'all remember, most of you that were here last week, we had a bunch of people last week, I took a backpack, things happen to us, as we go throughout our day, some of those little things, you put in the backpack, the backpack represents our heart, our mind, our life, we put things, in the backpack, and if we carry them around with us, sooner or later, those things add up. Even the little things, that we have to learn to forgive them. The old book, don't sweat the small stuff, but if it's enough of the little things, it can make you, cause a sweat, get heavy, and make you sweat. Then the questions, does forgiving mean forgetting? Does forgiving someone mean there are no consequences for what they did? Is forgiving excusing what they did? Do I have, people ask this all the time, do I have to forgive? Talk about those things. I don't know where y'all are at forgiving people, but people in general, and when I say people in general, I mean church people, followers of Christ, believers, have a hard time forgiving people. So if you think about it, if believers and followers of Christ have a hard time forgiving people, what about people that are not church people? They may be believers, but they're not in church. How do you think they do with forgiving people? And who do you think people struggle the most to forgive? Yourself or themselves. As the person, we struggle the most to forgive ourselves. Now, the word used for forgiving in the New Testament means to release or let go. The things happen to us in our life, everyday things, or just, the hurts, the pains, to forgive. It means to let them go, release them, not to hold on to them. Because the more we hold on to them, it's like a splinter in your hand. If you leave it there and you don't pull it out, what happens? It festers up, pusses up, and it hurts. It hurts, continues to hurt. Then when you really pull it out, then it really hurts. But the reality, of it is forgiving, letting go, a lot of times is easier said than done. New Testament, forgiveness means letting go of the right for revenge, letting go of the right to hate, letting go of the bitterness, letting go of the anger. It does not mean forgiving, that we're going to be best friends with a person that we're forgiving. It does not mean that what they did was okay. It just means I'm choosing to let go. I'm choosing to let go of the bitterness, the hatred, the revenge. The hate inside my heart. Like I said from last week, the backpack is our heart. And the rocks that we collect in it, as we go throughout our day, there's small ones, and then there's bigger ones. But when those bigger ones happen, if our backpack, our heart, is already full of the small ones, something bigger happens, it just becomes unbearable. Hopefully not, but in a marriage, hopefully not in a marriage, but things happen every day to us, you know, but especially in a marriage, maybe on a regular basis. And I told y'all last week, you know, about, and I did not tell her I said this. I know I'm smarter than that. You know, told y'all last week, you know, Miss Chris, you know, that Amanda's got a tone and she's not aware of that tone that she, you know, uses sometimes. You know, and I figured it out, you know, a long time ago. That, you know, she has that tone, you know. But one thing, you know, about, you know, I grew up in a household, there was a lot of joking, especially from my dad, and sarcasm, you know, that, you know, that I can be, you know, very sarcastic at times, you know, and she does not like that, you know, that, you know, she didn't grow up in that kind of household, you know. So when something happens, you know, I'm always, you know, making a joke about it or something. And I know that, you know, that she doesn't like it, you know, that sometimes she carries things, you know, with her. So I'm not as sarcastic, you know, as I used to be. Have I stopped? Nope. Will I stop? Nope. But, you know, I've learned to tone it down because, you know, I know she doesn't like it. You know, but I know that when I'm sarcastic, you know, at times it's one of those little rocks that I put in her backpack, you know, and I know she carries them around with her. You know, and you know, all married couples have their own rocks, you know, to bear. From the book of Colossians, as God's chosen ones, you know, holy and beloved, you know, have put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. And then, as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. As God has forgiven you, you also must forgive. You know, I've learned there's six words in marriage that no marriage can survive without. You know, guess those six words? Three, I am sorry. Learn to say those words. You know, and the other, I forgive you. You know, or those other six, nine, other three words, will you forgive me? You know, that we can't keep track, you know, do we keep track of everything that happens to us throughout our day, but especially in marriage. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That's not mean writing them down. You know, some people might. But in your heart, in the back of your mind, do you keep records of wrongs? Keeping track of them. You know, it's, you know, of what you do, but of what the other person does. And I think I've mentioned this before once or twice. You know, I learned about this a long time ago, that everybody, but especially, I won't pick on ladies, but especially ladies, they have their love bank. You know, and as men, we have to make deposits into that love bank. You know, so you make deposits into that love bank. So at some time, if you make a withdrawal into that, you know, from that love bank, you have enough deposits to cover that withdrawal. Because the one thing you never want to be is overdrawn in her love bank. If you are, you're in trouble. You know, but got shoes on the other foot too. You know, that she needs to make deposits into your love bank. You know, to make sure, you know, that she is not, you know, doesn't overdraw on your love bank. You know, last week I told you about the acronym RAPS. You know, I'm not talking about the music. You know, things happen in marriage. You know, we get caught up in life, work, or just things going on. You know, we might forget a birthday. We might forget an anniversary. You know, we might forget some kind of life event. And when we do those things, if we have too many of the little rocks, those things we forget can turn into a whole lot bigger rocks as what they are. RAP, remember your own faults. You know, none of us are perfect. You know, A, assume the best about the other person, not the worst. P, Pray for the other person. Always, always, especially if it's your wife or your husband. Pray for the other person. And S, seek to understand. Seek to understand. One thing I've read that, you know, as younger couples, you know, young in age and marriage, there's a lot of things that irritate us with each other. But as we grow older and we're married longer, you know, those we don't sweat the small stuff. Okay, some questions. What do you think most couples, and now I'm talking about, this is Christian couples now, what do you think most couples disagree on or cause disagreements? The first thing is poor communication. Not talking to each other. You know, and that's it's so easy to learn to do it just to do, to talk to each other. Number two, money and finances. Three, children, parenting, as you get older, grandparenting. Number four, priorities. You know, where do you put your time? Number five, unmet expectations. You know, you expect the husband or wife to do the cooking, you know, clean, yard care, whatever. Unmet expectations. You know, like I said, younger couples, they have more heated disagreements, you know, than older couples do. But life, marriage gets better over time. Top five reasons for divorce. Number one, infidelity, unfaithfulness. Number two, abuse, physical, verbal. Number three, alcohol, substance abuse. And number four, not talking, poor communication. Number five, lying or lack of trust. Now, if you have too many little things, and one of these happens, it turns into a big thing, be a real marriage killer. If you think about any of these, some of these, you know, they're the really big rocks, especially if you're holding on to all the little ones. If we cannot figure out how to let go of the little things, the small rocks, something bigger happens, and we surely can't let go of it. Things like infidelity, physical abuse, those things are so big. This is the biggest one I was going to find. I was going to pick up. We're going to pick up. But, you know, some, you know, infidelity, physical, you know, they're so big it won't even fit in a backpack. You know, but what happens, you know, it happens. We can't let go of it. And it's hard. It's hard to let go. We end up dragging it around with us every day. You know, and I've known people, they don't want to let go of it. You know, they get so used to it, it becomes a part of them. But you have to learn to let go, you know, and letting go, it's not something that happens overnight. You know, you chip away at it, you know, day after day, you know, after day. And then it gets to some point, you look, and it's not weighing you down anymore. It's still there, but it's not festering up inside you anymore. And you know, there's times it could even turn into something beautiful and useful. A while back, I had a person come into my office here, was not a church member, just somebody I know and they know me. The person was complaining about something that happened 40 years ago. And I tried to explain to the person to get them to look at what happened another way, that they were at fault, you know, and not the other, and they would not hear about it. You know, it was just, you know, they were all totally innocent. Okay, well, you know, no sense in going there. But, you know, I said, for something as minor as it was, holding on to it for 40 years, I could tell it was eating them up for 40 years. You know, and I told the person, I guarantee you, the person that you're blaming does not have a clue as to what you're talking about. So it's nobody hurting nobody but yourself. You know, to let it go. Don't hold on to it for that long. You know, the big things, they chip away at them, and get rid of it. You know, in our lifetime, we can carry things around with us. We can let it go. You know, and sometimes it takes learning, you know, to let things go. You know, that does not mean You know, when we let something go, that the person, what, you know, it was okay that they did it. You know, we're going to be best friends again, you know, best friends. You know, we just learn to let go. But in forgiveness, there also needs to repentance. Repentance means we're doing something, have done something to hurt someone, then we need to change our behavior. You know, and I'm writing this and I'm thinking, well, you know, gosh, talking to myself about that sarcasm, you know, being sarcastic and joking around, that have I repented? You know, will I stop joking? You know, Amanda expects it of me. You know, it kind of breaks the mood sometimes. But if we're doing something that we know is hurting somebody, we need to stop. We need to stop. We need to repent. Change of heart, change of mind, change of behavior that brings healing to a relationship. Even our relationship with God, we need to repent. Scripture tells us, repent and believe. Scripture says, repent and be baptized. Scripture says, repent and trust in the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and God is near. You believe that? God is near to you right now, this day and every day. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. To seek that kingdom out, but more than that, to seek the king of that kingdom out. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained a brother. You know, most of the time, if it's just a little thing, you know, we don't say anything about it. You know, if it's a little rock, you know, we just carry it with us. Hopefully we let it go. But if it's the same person and that thing mounts up, you know, what Jesus said, go and talk to them. Don't go talk to everybody at work. Don't go talk to your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, you know, everybody else, you know, everybody in the world. What's that called? Gossiping. Jesus said, go and talk to them. And he said, if they don't listen, then you bring somebody else into the conversation. And if they don't listen to the two of you, then bring the third person in. And still, they may not listen. But get this point. Do not miss this. Jesus said, if you cannot work it out and they do not listen, to treat them as Gentiles and tax collectors. Okay? How did Jesus treat Gentiles, tax collectors, sinners? He ate with them. He loved them. And he tried, showed them the kingdom of God, told them that God loves them, and hoped to get them or draw them to God. Even if we have something against somebody. Remember your faults, your own shortcomings, your mistakes. Assume the best, not the worst. Pray for the other person. Seek to understand. Plant the seed of forgiveness and reconciliation. Then Peter came to Jesus one day. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said, I do not say 7 times, but 77 times. 77 times. Some scriptures say 70 times 7. It's not once or twice and then you're done. The old rabbis used to say, I think it was 3 times, you know, and you're done. But forgiving is something that you do every day, that you never stop. And Jesus is not saying that you become a doormat for somebody just to continue to put yourselves in harm's way, to continue to let them walk all over you. He's not saying that. He's just saying, don't hold on to stuff. Forgive and let it go, just like God is forgiving you and forgives you every day. I ran across this. It was in my desk. I ran across this week. The 5-finger prayer. You know, it's actually 10 fingers because it's both hands. You know, on one, you know, you pray for yourself. You pray for the weak and sick. Pray for the leaders. I don't know why they include these people. Teachers. You know, teachers, you pray for family and friends. On the other hand, You pray for adoration. Get this one, confession, thanksgiving, intercession, and petition. You pray for those people every day. Do you want God to forgive you 7 times and be done with it and write you off? Or 70 times 7, which means unlimited, unlimited grace. Forgiving does not mean you're going to be best friends. It does not mean what they did not hurt. Does not mean there are no consequences. It just means I'm not going to allow continue for to hurt me anymore. I'm not going to hold on to something for 40 years. I'm going to learn to let it go. Jesus hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The person that hurt you may know what they're doing. Do you know what you are doing? Do you hold on to everything? Do you carry it around? You become bitter and angry about it, especially with your relationship with Father, Son, Spirit. You can't have that relationship and be the person God intended you to be, carrying the things around us, around with you. Then I ran across this verse this week too. Christ has entered not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Jesus Christ is in the presence of God today, appearing on your behalf. He's looking at you, looking at me, looking at the world, and he turns to the Father and says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So yes, we are called to forgive. Just as God is forgiving you this day and every day, we are called to forgive this day and every day. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks. We do give you thanks for this day and every day. Lord God, may we, Lord God, learn to forgive as you have forgiven us, Lord God, because we are not perfect and neither are the people around us. Help us, Father, Lord Jesus, not to carry the rocks around with us, even the big ones. Help us to chip away at them. And Lord God, that they may become something useful and beautiful in our life to help us be the people you call us to be. In your Son's name, amen.